This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're gonna jump in tonight into a little message series, and I want to talk to you tonight about priorities. Turn to the person next to you and tell them priorities. All right, I can tell y'all aren't used to talking to each other. Turn to the person on the other side and tell them, hey, you got to get your priorities straight. Go ahead. There we go. We're going to make some friends tonight, all right? We're going to make maybe some frenemies. I don't know. We'll see what happens, all right? If you don't know me, my name is Brandon Johnson. I am honored to be the community pastor here at the Ark Church. It's also my honor, it's my double honor to be able to speak in place of Pastor Allen. I don't know if he's going to listen to this or not, but can we just give him a round of applause for his leadership and just who he is? We love him. We love Pastor Allen. Hopefully he's listening to that. If not, we just clap for no good reason, but it's all good. You know. Tonight, we're going to talk about priorities, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your phone out. For real. Go ahead and get out. You left it in the car. It's all good. Go ahead and get your phone out. I'm breaking every rule so far, right, in church? It's all good. All right. This may be the last time I ever speak, so, you know, just remember me, okay? It was nice while it lasted, right? Okay. So go ahead and get your phone out, and I'm gonna time you, okay? And some of you are really curious what's about to happen, all right? I'm enjoying this moment of suspense, right? Because you have no idea, and I do, and it's fun. Okay, sorry. So I'm going to time you. I'm going to give you 20 seconds, okay? And I should have told you this. Go to, like, your notes, okay? So if you have the iPhone, you have notes on there. If you have Samsung, you have something inferior. I don't know what it is, but just try. Yeah, I'm just sure. I don't know. Okay, are we almost there? Okay, we'll get our notes out. I've already done this exercise, so I'm not going to pretend to do it, but you can do it, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to kind of flow in what we're talking about tonight. So in 20 seconds, here's what I want you to do. 20 seconds or less, okay? And man, I wish we had some music. Justin, can you come up here and sing or something? No, nothing. He's like, I'm done. I did my part. All right, do your part. It's one of our values. No? Okay, anyways. All right, I tried. So here's what we're going to do. In 20 seconds or less, I want you to type out to the very best of your ability. Some of you are going to struggle with this more than others, all right? But type out your top five values as soon as they come to your mind. Ready, set, go. Some of you are like, I'm not sure. What do I write? Don't overthink it. Just write them down. Top five values. Oh, you're already at 10 seconds. Come on. You can do it. 13, 14. Come on. Some of you are like, I hate this exercise. All right, 20 seconds. How many did you get?
4-1.
Oh, man, that's awesome. All right. All right. We can't all win, can we? All right. It's a good thing to teach your kids. All right. So with that said, I don't know how many you got to write down. Raise your hand if you got one down. This would be a good thing. All right. Some of you are like, I'm not participating in this exercise, okay? The rebels. I love the rebels. All right. How many got two? Anybody write two? Okay, pretty good. Man, that light. God bless Jesus, that light. All right. Number three. How many people got three? Okay, pretty good. Four? Anybody get four? Five. What about five? Oh, wow, our overachievers. Nice. Well done. I like it. Okay, five. Tonight, part of why I did that, and you can put the slide up if you'd like, we're going to talk about priorities. I just want to make sure this is for my own peace of mind. Slide, please come up. Carrie, don't mess with me, bro. Put the slide up. There it is. That warms my heart. Okay, thank you. Did you notice how I took a little bit of extra time? He loved Carrie. All right, love you, man. All right, so we're going to talk about priorities, and I want to start with kind of a fun little story, I think it is. There was a business guy who was kind of at his wit's end. He came to a pastor, and he told the pastor, look, my business has failed. I've kind of, my whole priorities in life is completely jacked up, and man, I really need your help. And the pastor, and by the way, this is not good advice, but the pastor told him, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the beach. I want you to sit down in a beach chair. I want you to open your Bible, and I want you to let the wind and the breeze open the scripture. And as soon as the scripture, as soon as the wind blows the pages, I want you to look down, and that God is going to give you your answer. Okay? Has anybody ever tried this, by the way? I'm just curious. This is supposed to be a joke, but okay. Anybody? Open your Bible. Lord Jesus, I believe you're going to speak, right? Hey, God can do that. All right? So here's what happens. So about a year passes, and the guy comes back to the pastor, and he has got a unbelievable Lamborghini SUV, okay, because he's got his family with him. He's dressed in an Armani suit, okay, and he hands the pastor a check for $50,000. Pastor's like, what is going on? He goes, the pastor said, did you do what I told you to do? He said, I did exactly what you told me to do. He said, did you go down the beach? I went down the beach. Did you put the chair out? He said, I put the chair out. He said, did you open the Bible? He said, I opened the Bible. He goes, did you let the wind, you know, breeze through the pages? He goes, I did exactly that. He goes, what did it blow over to? He goes, chapter 11. There you go. I thought it was funny, all right? If not for my own personal enjoyment, all right? There you go. All right, you're going to have to work with me tonight. With that said, though, when we talk about priorities, I got to tell, and let me just ask you this question. Have you ever looked back on maybe a week and just kind of said to yourself, man, I just wasted some time? You ever said that before? Man, I felt like I wasted maybe a day or a couple days or a week. Have you said that one before? For those that maybe even right now are, maybe you're in a similar place to me, I've been really sad, and I'll tell you why. I've been sad because, and I'm trying to get over it, because of what happened with the Rockets, okay? Now, here's the thing. If you're not familiar with basketball or anything like that, it's okay. Our Rockets should have beat Golden State, okay? I believe they should have beaten Golden State. All right. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's exactly right. So true, unfortunately. But you can tell I'm still dealing with personal issues. And here's the thing. I was just struggling because I wanted the Rockets to win so bad. And if you didn't watch the game, CP3, Chris Paul, he got hurt. And I invested a lot of time into watching the Rockets. And then they lost, okay? And this is extremely difficult for me emotionally, okay? I a lot of times I'm not this, you know, I'm not super, this is hard for me though, okay? And to make it even worse now, I'm gonna put my faith out there and say, I'm gonna believe the Cavs are gonna win tonight at home, even though there's something in the back of my head says, Brandon, you're lying to yourself, okay? But who knows? Who knows, okay? Tonight the Cavs play the Golden State Warriors, and I want the Golden State Warriors to lose. Why? Because they beat our Rockets, okay? And I say our Rockets, right? Are you with me? All right. So I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, man, I've spent a lot of time, or maybe another way of saying it, I've wasted a lot of time watching basketball lately. And I know what's gonna happen. Golden State's gonna win. Why? Because 5 versus 1, 5 always wins. It's LeBron versus the Golden State. It's how it goes. And I know I'm going to be disappointed, and I'm even a little frustrated talking about it right now, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But here's the deal. The reason I realized I was frustrated was because I spent a lot of time investing, watching the Rockets, spent a lot of time watching, you know, at least the last two games of Golden State and Cleveland. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to work out. With that said tonight, As we talk about priorities, here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you this. Every single one of us, doesn't matter who you are, every single one of us have had times in our lives where we wasted time. And every single one of us, the reason that we even know innately what a priority is because we have these things in the back of our heads that we know what we're supposed to be doing, and yet sometimes there's this gap. There's this gap between the priority that I know and the priorities that I practice. You with me? There's this gap sometimes between, how do we even know? Because we know. We know what's right, don't we? We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know what, you know, not to spiritualize, but what God's called us to. We know those things. And then there's yet the other side where this is the priorities that we actually practice. You know what I found? This gap between the priorities that we know, the priorities that we practice, determines oftentimes our level of frustration. The bigger the gap, oftentimes the more frustrated we are. Isn't that true? The bigger the gap between this is what I know I'm supposed to be doing, this is what's really important in my life, and this is what I'm actually doing. And the bigger that gap gets, oftentimes the more frustrated I am. But thank God, the inverse is true as well. When I start putting those two closer together, and what I believe and what I know as priority begins to get closer and closer with what I'm actually practicing, all of a sudden, guess what? I begin to live on purpose and I begin to live on mission. And tonight, as we jump into this message, I want to talk to you about living on purpose, living on mission, doing things intentionally, having priorities, knowing them, living an intentional life. So let's do this. Would you raise your hand with me real quick? Would you raise your hand? Go ahead. You're like, what exercise are we doing now? Just raise your hand with me. Let's do this. You know, the Bible talks about raising our hands as a sign of surrender. I want to encourage us, and I want to pray a quick prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our heart what we need to know tonight on our priorities. Can we do that? Let's ask the Lord to whatever we need tonight, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but I'm glad God knows what it is. And let's pray together. God, we have our hands in the air, God, as a sign of surrender because we want you to speak to us, God. We know that you know everything, God, and you know what we need tonight. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, that you do great things in our lives, God, and that you would help this gap to get smaller, God, to where we can live our priorities out. We can practice them. Speak to our hearts what we need to know tonight, Lord, in your name, amen. So we're going to look at a passage of scripture tonight. And with that said, this passage is found in Luke 10. You can put it on the screen. I can see that pretty good. I was wondering earlier if I'd be able to see it. Hopefully you guys in the back can see it. If not, sorry. All right, we're going to read it. We're going to read it together. Here's what it says. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But look, Martha. Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. What's interesting about this story? Both of these women love Jesus, yet only one of them had Jesus' priorities. Both of them deeply love Jesus. Only one of them had the same priorities as Jesus. Tonight, the question I want to ask you is, do you have the same priorities that God would want for you? Do your priorities line up with what he created you to live out? God's desire is that we live out his priorities. I think this can, before I tell you that scripture, let me tell you this. Our main thought, our main point tonight, I love application. So I'll just tell you right now from the start, I love hearing messages and I'm thankful for all kinds of things God does. I want to live something out. Anybody with me? I want to work something out. So with that said tonight, here's our main application thought, and you can even put it up. True priorities get scheduled. What's really, really important to you in your life, you're going to schedule it. Now, here's the thing about schedules. Some of us, my wife is like this. She lives her whole life based on checklists and schedules, right? It's just like, you know, some of us, we kind of live by more of an innate schedule. We kind of memorized it, right? We kind of know the flow. Either way, the point is this. Your true priorities, you want to find out what's real? Take a look at the schedule. That's what's real. Now, here's what I believe. When we look at Matthew chapter 22, we'll look at it in a second. I really believe that God's main priorities for our lives can be summed up. Maybe we should say God's main or his top priorities can be summed up in this passage. And this may seem like an oversimplification, but I really believe this is a good summary of what God wants for our lives. Let's take a look. Here's what it says. Jesus replied, and he gives us this secret, this code, how to live, what's most important to him. He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is what Jesus says. So in other words, to simplify, to love God and to love others. Love God and love people. What's most important to God, there's a lot of things we can do in life, right? There's a lot of things. What's most important to God, in other words, God's priorities for our lives, is this vertical relationship and our horizontal relationships. This vertical relationship, we have to get right. We've got to get this one right. If everything else fails, the vertical one has to be right, us and God. That's the most important. Everything else can fail. This one has to be right. But the second is people. And I want to get a little more specific when we talk about people. But as we get into this, tonight I want to give you my top five priorities. And I say this to you as humbly as I can, not that, you know, that I believe that there's only five priorities that are right and all of us have to do these five. But I want to give you this maybe a little more of a nuts and bolts type message where I give you some practical things that are important to me scripturally, and I'll show them to you in a second. But maybe even more important, how to live those things out. So tonight I want to give you my top five priorities, and I'm gonna back them up with scripture. And my hope is this: as you're listening, I believe the Lord's gonna speak to you what you need. I truly believe that. I truly believe that for some of you, you may come in here and maybe you're looking at your list and it's like, man, my list needs a little tweak. I'm not sure about number three, number five. You know, maybe didn't get to number three. I don't know. But whatever it looks like on your list, you're like, man, I'm just not sure. Or, man, I know my priorities. I'm just not living them out. Whatever it looks like tonight, I believe God's going to speak to your heart. So let me share with you real quick my first and top priority. And it's this simple. Here it is: a growing relationship with God. It's that simple. The reason I exist, I need to grow my relationship with God. There's a lot of words we could attach to that: worship and, you know, connection with God, coming to church, all kinds of things. But it's really all about me growing with God. It's really all about you growing with God. It's really, if I'm here today, I need to be here tomorrow. You with me? We need to be growing. I need to be able to look back a year from now and go, man, praise God, look where I came, right? Y'all with me? That's where we need to be. Here's the thing. A lot of times we come to church. I love that we're at church tonight. The question is, are we ready to grow? We ready to grow? You know, it's crazy. You can hear the message, right? I can come to church, doesn't mean I'm going to grow, right? Who determines if I'm growing or not? Me. I got to be ready, right? You know, you think about worship. You know, some people come in and you kind of just stand there for worship. Okay. Well, I got to tell you, there's a better way, right? Justin would probably say there's a better way. You know, we're worshiping the Creator. Let's give Him everything, right? Am I growing in my relationship with God when I'm giving Him everything? You better believe it. I'm submitting to Him. I'm becoming more like Him. So let's look at the scripture behind this. I'm going to give you three passages of scripture. And they all have the same thing in common. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. What's He doing? He leaves the house. He goes off to a solitary place where He prayed. Matthew 14:23. After He had dismissed them, He went on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Seeing the theme. When evening came, He was there alone. Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying to God. You see what Jesus was all about? Jesus was all about prayer. Jesus was all about His relationship with God. Jesus was growing in His relationship with God. He knew He needed the Father. If Jesus needed the Father, how much more do you and I need the Father? If Jesus' main goal was to spend time with God, how much more do you and I need to grow in our relationships with God? If Jesus was doing it, we got to be doing it. That's what's most important. You know, just recently, I went on vacation with my family to Florida. Anybody like Florida vacations? Anybody good with Florida? I've heard Galveston right now, the water is clear. Can anybody vouch for that? Yes. Can you vouch for this? Well, there you go. If you don't believe in miracles, then okay. I've heard it's true. I don't know. I'm going to have to go check it out. Anyways, we like going to Florida. We love Florida. The water's beautiful. I grew up in Florida. And my wife and I, my kids, we drove down there, and it's a long drive. We drove down to Fort Myers, Florida, 17 and a half hours. I don't play around. My kids are like, Dad, I need to use the bathroom. I'm like, the next gas station is coming, so you can hold. They're like, really, Dad? Yes. Okay, that we don't play around. Like, I just go for it, right? I'm just going for it, okay? If you want to eat or use the bathroom, you can do it when we stop. All right, that may be a little overbearing. Okay, I get it, okay. But we get down to Florida, and while we're there, Brittany's sister lives in Lakeland, Florida, which is in the center of the state, and that's actually where I went to college. So we're going to visit her, and because she lives in Lakeland, and Southeastern University is there, which is an excellent Christian college. If your kids are thinking about a great Christian college, I'd recommend Southeastern. Many of you know Dr. Rutland. You know Dr. Rutland that comes and speaks? He was my president at Southeastern before he moved to Oral Roberts. So anyways, so love Dr. Rutland. He turned that place around, boy. But while we were there, I've shown the girls around, showing them, hey, this is where Mom and I went. And I have two girls, so they're getting all excited. Ooh, this is where Mom and I, you know, that whole thing. It's hilarious. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. It's just me and the women, all right? So we're over there, and I'm showing them around, and you know, I'm showing, hey, this is where, you know, Dad, I met Mom, and this is where, you know, we used to go work out, and this is where we used to play football, and you know, the different things, and then we get over to what they call La Chateau, and which was my senior year, the place where I stayed. It was kind of like an apartment complex, kind of technically offsite, but you can it's close enough to kind of be right over there. And there's this beautiful lake right there. And I was showing them, I said, girls, this is where Dad used to go out every single morning and just spend time with God and read. And I used to read my Bible. And I used to just pray. And they're like, oh, they're kind of taking it in. And as I was doing that, I was getting ready to turn around. And as I was getting ready to turn around, I saw this RV park. And instantly it brought, have you ever had a time where you just get hit with a memory? And it's kind of like it just kind of floods you. And that's not really normal for me, but it hit me. And what I remembered what I used to do in this RV park. I used to walk around the whole thing. They have no trespass signs up now. I don't know if I was trespassing then. Forgive me, Lord, if I was. I don't know. But maybe they put them up because of me. Who knows? All right? But I would walk around, and I would literally do this every single night. And I would walk around, and I would just pray. And I'm not trying to sound super spiritual or anything, but my friends would go out to Orlando, and, you know, a lot of people around that area, Lakeland, we go to Orlando and Tampa and the beach, and, you know, there's a bunch of stuff to do around. And a lot of times I just tell them, no, hey, I'm not going to go tonight. I'm just going to walk. I wouldn't tell them I'm praying. I didn't want them, you know, think I'm trying to be spiritual or, you know, kind of weird or anything like that. But I was just like, hey, I'm just going to walk. You know what I remember? Every night I would walk around that place, and I would just pray. I would just talk to God. And as I was, as I saw the RV park, memory, it just kind of hit me. And the question that hit me was pretty powerful, and it's kind of challenging. And I'll say it rhetorically, but the question that, for whatever reason, that hit me was, do I love God as much today as I loved him then? That's a good question to ask. Do I love God more today than I did yesterday, than I did last week, than I did last month, than I did last year? God's desire for us is to grow in our relationship with him. See, he loves us so much. He just wants us to talk to him. He just wants us to spend time with him. He cares for us so much. He died for us on the cross. The question is that our number one priority? Oh, he wants it to be. He won't force it on you, right? Many of you know that. He's not going to force it. But boy, does he want that to be our number one priority. So here's the deal. I've already told you. Our true priorities, what do? We schedule them. So let's talk about what does that look like. I'll tell you just a quick example in my life. I'm not going to get into a ton of details, but I'll tell you what my relationship with God looks like. In the morning, every morning, I'm militant about this. I don't play around, okay? I wake up, and the first thing I do before I eat, before I do anything, is I get into my Project 345. Do you know Project 345? I hope you do, okay? Some people, you know, everybody has a different preference. I look at it right on my phone. I just go on my phone, and right even before I do that, I pray, and I say, God, I just thank him. It's a good thing to get your mind in the mindset of just thanking God, because I've trained myself to do this. I have an appointment with God. I don't naturally wake up, and I'm like, God, thank you. I wish I was more thankful, to be honest with you, but I have had to train myself in that. So I wake up, and I stop thinking about myself, and I start thinking about God. And you know what? I get into it, and I tell God, thank you. And I get into what I call my SOAP, which is the scripture, observation, application, prayer. And I get a scripture, and I just start going for it. And you know what? It's beautiful. I've got that planned. And then at nighttime, every single night, no matter what, I'm going to walk my dog, and I'm going to pray. You know what? Every single night, I get, you know, we have multiple things going on, right? Thor's happy. My wife's happy. I'm walking the dog. Okay, everybody's happy, all right? But here's the deal. I'm walking Thor, and I'm talking to God. I know at least two times a day, at least, I'm going to talk to God. It's just two times a day. And a lot of times I'll do more, but I know at least I have two set times. You got to schedule it, okay? I'm looking at time, so we're going to have to kind of cruise through these, okay? Looking at the next one. I want to tell you my next priority, and it's a very clear one. There's no debate on this one, at least for me. It's my spouse. My spouse has to come next. Some of you may not be married. It's all good. Next one after spouse is going to be children. We'll talk about that children in a second. If you don't have a spouse or children, I want to tell you it's family. You can substitute it for family. But let's look at what the scripture says when it comes to our spouse. Okay? Put it up. Here you go. He didn't want to put it up, all right? Probably because that first word, all right? Submit. Just joking. All right? Here's what it says. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do for the Lord. For your husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's the Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so wives also should submit to their husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That is powerful. As men, it's our job to lead. You know what we lead with? We can lead with a lot of things. There's a lot of ways to lead. A lot of good ways, a lot of bad ways. It's our job to lead with love. Scripture makes it clear. We need to love our wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Have respect. Have a deep sense of honor. That's what the scripture says. That's not me. That's what the scripture says. That's what God wants. When that's in alignment, man, some great things happening. You know, my wife is, for those that are familiar with personality tests, she's a high C. And if you're familiar with a high C, basically C's got their act together. They're the perfectionists, okay? At least I think they are, but that's a whole other thing, all right? And my wife has her whole life planned out, and I want to tell you, this was Christmas, probably the first year we were married. I'll never forget, I was buying her a gift, and I bought her a gift for about $100. And, you know, without going into all the details, I thought she was going to love it. I thought she was going to be excited by it. It was going to be awesome. And, man, this is going to be great. And as soon as I gave it to her, she was disappointed. I remember thinking to myself, what is it going to take? All right? I spent like $100. We barely have any money. Like, work with me, okay? And then I realized her dad had trained her, okay? Yes, her dad is Bob Capp, the adult ministry pastor here at the Ark, okay? That's a whole nother thing. We won't go down that road. But her dad had trained her to have high expectations when it came to her birthday and Christmas. They had showered them insanely with gifts. So guess what? There was an expectation there that I was clearly unaware of, all right? But that had been put into place. Here's why I say this. Guys, as our job as leaders, it's our job to set expectations. A lot of times people don't want to talk about this. What does it mean to be a leader? To utilize your influence, right? That's what leadership is. It's utilizing influence. Leaders go first. Leaders initiate. Sometimes when it comes to our husband and wives, it's kind of like, no, you do it, you do it. God says here, we're the head. It's our responsibility to be the leader. I tell you, one of the things my wife has told me, she says, Brandon, one of the things that's most attractive about you is when you lead our family and you do it in a God-honoring way. A lot of things she could say. That's what she chooses. I'm like, really? Come on now. Give me something. All right? No, that's what she chose. So, again, if that's important, what do we got to do? Got to schedule it, right? Got to schedule it. If I'm going to say my spouse is number two, got to schedule it. Shooting through this real quick, I'll just give you a general sense. Every single day, Brittany and I talk. We talk during the day, whether it's text. She actually works here, so a lot of times I'll stop by. But it's intentional, right? We got to schedule it. It doesn't just happen on its own. It's not how it works. I'm intentional about it. Why? Because it's a priority. I stop by her desk. If she's not there, I text her. Then when we get home, we always have a talk about how the day's going. We eat with our family. We have a discussion. Here's what's going on. And I make sure that conversation is not just me talking. It's not just her talking. It's us talking. It's us sharing. That's important. I want to tell you, men, as the head of our household, we have to be leaders. That's what God has called us to do. You'll be shocked how your wives will respond when you step into that place as a leader. Let's look at the next one, third priority. Children. It's okay if you don't have children. I'll tell you, though, there's a fascinating scripture. This is fascinating, at least to me, in Proverbs. Here's what it says. And a lot of times we get this wrong. We misunderstand what the verse means. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he won't depart from it. I put in there in parenthesis, according to his way, because this is one of the few scriptures in the Bible, and you keep it up for a second. It's one of the few scriptures in the Bible where I think we need to understand the Hebrew. You're like, Brandon, really? Well, just stay with me, all right? So here's why I say this. Because when it comes to the Hebrew literally says, train up a child according to his way. And then even when he grows old, he won't depart from it. A lot of times we take that to mean, oh, okay, if I train a child when he's young, then when they're going to, you know, get old, they're going to stay with it. That's not what the verse means at all. In fact, what the verse means is actually more of a warning type promise. What it literally means is if you train up a child according to their way, what's going to happen is when they get old, they're not going to depart from it. In other words, they're going to have some bad habits in place, and they're not going to stray away from those bad habits. It's a little different twist on the verse, isn't it? Have you heard that verse said that way? I don't know if you have. What does that tell us? Training our children is one of the most important things we can do. That's what that means. We have to train our children. It doesn't just come natural, does it? It doesn't just happen, right? We have to train them. If we don't train them, they're going to train themselves according to their own ways. And the scripture actually says it's a warning. They're actually, when they grow old, they're not even going to be able to depart from it. This is important. People come up to me and ask me, Brandon, do you give your kids an allowance? No. I don't give my kids an allowance. I don't pay them for being a part of the family. Are you kidding me? That's insane, all right? Here's what I pay them for. I pay them for things that I value. I pay them for reading books. I pay them for memorizing scriptures. I even pay them for making godly friends. You're like, Brandon, can I do that? Yes, okay? Yes, you can. Here's why I say this. Because our kids will take on our priorities. So important. We got to schedule it. We've got to schedule time with our kids. We've got to schedule all those things. If it's real, you got to schedule it. Moving through this, let's look at number four real quick. Four is empower believers. You may not know this, but Ephesians 4:12, you put it up, here's what it says. 11 and 12, it says, these are the gifts God gave the church. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You may not know this, Pastor Allen is a gift to this church. The pastors and ministry leaders are gifts to this church. Do you know this though too? You are a gift to this church. You are a gift to that. See, you didn't say amen when I said the other, and then you didn't say it for yourself. Oh, Brandon, that's braggadocious. I can't, okay. You know, no, here's the deal. You need to recognize you are a gift to this church. You are a gift. Here's what God has called us as pastors to do. God has called us to equip you. That means to train, to prepare you, to get you ready to go out there and do what God has called you to do, to serve others, to utilize your gifts in ministry. That's our job. Our job is not to do the work. Sometimes people get it confused. They're like, oh, that pastor is lazy. Well, how do you define that? Do you know what their role is according to God? God says pastors' jobs are to equip people, get you ready for service. Pastor's job is not to do the work. It's to prepare you guys to use your giftedness to go out there and fulfill your purpose and make an impact for God, make an impact for his kingdom. That is the role and how things are supposed to work according to scripture. So if that's important to me, I better schedule it, right? And I do it. Every single Monday when I come in, I pray for you. Our team actually prayed for this whole room tonight. You may not know that. And you know what? It's not just our team. There are multiple teams on our staff that prayed for this room. I want to tell you tonight, that is one of the greatest priorities of my life. And as we wrap up, here's priority number five, and I'll close with this one. It's reaching lost people. Lost people matter to God. I'm going to end with the scripture, and we'll close. The scripture says this. I want you to look at the last one. We'll wrap up with this. Luke 15 says, then Jesus told the parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts his shoulders on it and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. God loves you so much, he's willing to leave the 99 to go after you and to go after the person next to you and to go after the person next to you and to go after every single person on this world. That's the type of love the Father has for people. If God has that type of love for lost people, which by the way, we were all lost at one point, shouldn't we? God has such a love for every single one of you in this room. As we wrap up, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to just ask you a question tonight. It's a real simple one. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life? There may be some of you tonight that you've never made that decision. Maybe some of you are on the fence. You're not quite sure. I'm going to just ask you tonight, have you made that choice? Tonight is one of the greatest nights, I believe, of your life if you've never made that choice. Because you could say yes to Jesus tonight. He's willing to leave the 99 and go after you. You may not even realize that he's been pursuing you. He cares for you. He loves you so much. You know what? We're in this room because of him. So if you're here tonight, you say, you know what? I want a relationship with God. I need to make that choice tonight. With no hesitation, if that's you, I'm not going to do anything weird or call you out. I just ask you to raise your hand. If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Say, Brandon, that's me. I need a relationship with God. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. That's awesome. That's awesome. I see that. Just a couple more moments. That's awesome. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us. And as I do that, I'm going to pray for those who just raised their hand, but I'm going to also pray for us and our priorities. With that said, let's do this together. Let's say this prayer together. Repeat this after me. Everybody say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me, the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now let me pray for you before we wrap up. God, thank you for every person in this room. Thank you, God, tonight as we've talked about priorities. God, I believe you spoke to people's hearts, God. Some of us, we need to maybe just adjust our priorities. For some of us, God, we've realized maybe something that's more important than it should be has kind of creeped up the list, God, and we need to make a tweak, an adjustment, God. For some of us, you've reminded, God, a priority that maybe it's been a long time since it's been in our lives and it's time to bring it back in, God. I pray out of all those things, God, the number one thing we would do to honor you is to schedule those things in our lives, God. That way this gap, God, no longer exists between what we know and what we practice. God, we want to honor you with our lives, honor you with our priorities, God. And we know if we do that, God, eternity will be impacted. I pray for every person in this room, God, as we leave this room, God, that we may have more clear priorities, God, that we would honor you with our lives, Lord. Thank you for how you're going to use us, God. Thank you for how you're changing us, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, that we can call ourselves children of God. We pray these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.